Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of College Hockey Talk. On today's episode, I welcome back a very special guest. She is a defender on the Northeastern women's hockey team. She has two hockey championships, and she also helped Northeastern to two Frozen Four appearances last year and then obviously this past season. Lastly, she has the most appearances on College Hockey Talk with three. So welcome back to the podcast, Lily Jovetic. How's it going?
Hi, thank you. Yeah, it's going good. Happy to be back. It's been a while, but I'm good. I'm happy. I'm excited to talk to you here today.
Now, you obviously have a lot of hockey accomplishments, which I think you probably look more fondly upon, but most appeared guests on College Hockey Talk has to be up there, right?
Oh, 100%. It's a huge honor, seriously.
So, but no, how's everything going with you on and off the ice since the season last ended a few weeks ago? Have you been doing anything interesting?
It's been good. I don't know. It's weird. You're kind of a normal student for the last couple months of school instead of having like the athlete part of it, part of the student athlete. But it's good. I'm really bored, to be completely honest. We just started our team workouts this week, which have been Monday through Fridays, which have been really fun, to be honest. It's nice to be back in the rink. I don't know about you, but like I just can't like sit around very long. So like even though the season just kind of ended, I'm excited to get into summer training mode. So that's been exciting.
Yeah, as a fan, I feel the same way. Once the college hockey season ends, it feels like there's nothing much going on. Like, don't get me wrong, I love baseball and I will follow that, but like you definitely miss something. But I really feel it like in July when there's absolutely nothing going on. It's just the worst. Like, oh my gosh, like I can't wait for the games to start to get back going again.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I don't know. It's nice to have like a break, but it's also nice though to have like that time to build up and be like excited to be like back in the rink and like the busy lifestyle. But I don't know. I always just need to have some sort of like structure, like whether it's like having to be at a workout or like a practice every day, just so I feel like I'm in like a good routine as someone that's like always in routine. So
yeah. And obviously for hockey players, like if you think about it compared to the other athletes at your school, you have like the longest season. You're going from fall to spring basically, where most athletes have like 2-3 months where they're playing actual games. So basically like that's all you're used to throughout most of the school year is balancing hockey and school. And when that's taken away from you, it's definitely kind of weird to adjust to.
Oh yeah. I feel like I have so much time on my hands to the point where like I leave it to the last minute, because when you're on the road or you're in the middle of like a season and playing games, you have to do homework right away because you have such a little time periods that you could do the work while balancing like social and hockey. But now that like I have no hockey, I'm just like, oh my god, like I have so much time, I can watch movies instead of like doing my homework, and then I just like do it last minute, and it's been tough. But yeah,
as long as you get it done, that's all that counts. So
yeah, just like the quality, you know, would probably be better if I did it the first day instead of the last hours before it was due, but that's okay. We'll work on that.
Most college students, I'm assuming, don't do the things like once they're first assigned. It's mostly like last minute. At least that's how I feel with it.
No, yeah, like I'm usually pretty good about it. It's just been these last couple of weeks where I have so much time, but usually I'm like, okay, like I have a game on Tuesday, I should do my homework on Monday so I can focus. I don't know. Just more like a tougher pace lifestyle.
Are you watching any hockey? Because that's still going on. Or are you more of a hockey player, or are you both a hockey watcher and a hockey player? Because I talked to
Gwen,
and she said she doesn't watch any hockey at all, which shocked me by surprise.
That's so interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I've been starting to watch more hockey as I start to like know more people playing. Like my friend Cole Gutman is on Denver, and then my friend Brandon Brisson is on Michigan, so they played last night. So a bunch of like the Northeastern men's and women's players, we like watched it last night, and we'll probably watch the championship game. But yeah, I don't know, like not really throughout the year, like I won't watch as much hockey, but once my season's over, I'll watch a little bit.
Yeah,
for sure. I'm more of a player, I guess.
Yeah, probably. Were you at the Frozen Four? Because I was there last night.
No, I wasn't there. I was thinking about it, but I totally forgot that it was like this week, and I just didn't get my crap together. How was it? Was it fun?
Oh, it was awesome. This is the second time I've ever been to one. The last time I was there was back when it was back in Boston in 2015. And
Awesome.
I had a great time. I love it's so much fun going to the Frozen Four. And I think Boston is like the best city to host in personally. So it was a lot of fun. And normally I get to watch like Hockey East and ECAC teams just because that's what's close by. But it was really cool getting the chance to see some of those Midwest teams that I never get the chance to play, especially Michigan with all their talented players. So that was a lot of fun. Owen Power really impressed me. I can see why he was the number one overall pick. But that was a great game between them and Denver. So I'm looking forward to see how they do against Minnesota State tomorrow.
Yeah. Who do you have?
I have Denver winning, but to be honest, I kind of want the Mavericks to win just because one, I've had two College Hockey Talk guests on Minnesota State, but also because they've never won a national championship before. So I'm kind of rooting for they're kind of like the underdog in this game, even though they're not really. So that's why I'm rooting for Minnesota State, and that's why I think they're going to win. But I did have Denver going all the way in my tournament bracket, so there's that as well.
Very true. Yeah, no, I want Denver to win for sure. I know the Mavericks have had like a really good like showing in the past. Like I think that first COVID year, they were like poised to do really well at the tournament. But I don't know, I just want my friend to win like an actual.
I understand that. Don't worry.
Denver though. But yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm excited to watch.
Yeah, I feel like Denver's kind of like a high flying offensive team and Minnesota State's like a grindy, like lunch and pail type of team. So it's going to be interesting to see how those two styles like play against each other.
Yeah, no, 100%. It'll be very interesting.
Now, do you have anything else planned for your off season, hockey wise or non hockey wise? Like, what do you hope to work on for your game? And do you have anything fun? Are you going to go to some beaches in California, I presume?
Yeah, I spend a lot of my time at the beach in the summer when I'm at home in California for sure. So I'll be doing that. Looking forward to that. But yeah, I'll probably just be running some hockey camps in the summer out in California. And when I get home, I'll just start my training program. And then just start skating. I used to play boys hockey, and so a bunch of the guys I used to play with, like Brendan Brisson, Quinn Emerson, I'm trying to think who else you would know, like Cole Gutman, Jackson Ivany. So all those guys will go out in these skates, and so I'll just participate in those like a couple times a week. But that's in a while. I haven't skated or even thought about touching the ice in a couple weeks, so that's definitely something I'm going to be thinking about is getting on the ice again. But yeah, that's about it. What about you? Any big summer plans?
Just working, and I'm trying to maybe get some classes done for summer classes. I'm not sure if I want to do that or not, so I'm thinking about it. But just work and chilling with friends and obviously watching some good baseball. So that's kind of like what I like to do during the summer.
That sounds awesome. Yeah, definitely getting classes out of the way during the summer is super smart. I'm doing that too. Actually, I forgot. I have to take a course over the summer just to make my load a little lighter.
I'm just hesitant to do it because it's like it's summer and I don't want to do school. But part of me also wants to get like this class out of the way so I can just focus on my major for next year. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. It depends what happens this semester and like how I deal with like some of the stuff. But I think I'll make that decision in a few weeks when I do have my advising meeting when I register for my classes. So.
But yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, that's smart. I actually have to do that too. My meeting is tomorrow, actually. Or no, not tomorrow, Monday with my advisor. So I have to do the same thing. Interesting. Very nice.
Yeah. It's a very boring meeting. Just they talk to you for like 10 minutes and it's like, yep, I know everything I need to do. So
yeah.
Cool. So that's basically what it is for me.
Yeah. What's your major? I don't know if I've asked you this before.
I'm a communications major. I think that's pretty obvious for some of the people that are listening just because I want to do broadcasting after college.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my goal. And then also I'm going to try to minor in journalism next semester. So, and hopefully I can use one of those two things for a job next year. But the good thing about communications is the degrees can be used in other fields as well. So like if broadcasting doesn't work out, I can use it in like business and that kind of stuff. Just because there's always communications jobs in like other fields. So that's why I decided to do that major. I feel like it gets a bad rap, but I really like it a lot.
No, I don't think so at all. A lot of my teammates are communication majors. A lot of my friends, a lot of my hockey player friends in college are communications majors. I almost did a communications route, But no, I don't think it's, I think it's an awesome major.
I just think it, like, it has, like, that stigma whenever, like, I tell, like, older people, like, I'm a communications major, like, I feel like I get, like, kind of judged. I don't know. Maybe that's because, maybe that's why I feel like it gets that way.
Yeah. No, that's valid. I feel like, though, like, you could say that, though, about, like, business majors, like, I don't know.
Are you a
business
major? I feel like you could say that.
I was. Oh. I'm doing a minor in business, and then my major is psychology. So I switched, nice. But not a math person. So couldn't pass Cal.
I understand too. I finished my last math class last semester, and it was one of the best feelings ever. So I don't ever have to
really?
Take it again. Oh yeah, it's great. So
lucky.
Now we just gotta get through Spanish. That's the tough class for this semester. So I've never learned another language before. So we're trying to get through it as we can.
Is it Spanish 1?
Elementary Spanish, but it's, like, so difficult. Like, it makes me sound so stupid that I don't know, like, how to do some things. But it's, like, I don't know how to describe it. And I was learning – someone told me, like, when you learn a new language, it's, like, harder to learn it when you're, like, older because you're so used to speaking one language. But when you're, like, a kid, like, you can, like, adapt to learn another
language.
Yeah. So that's, like, the tough part for me.
No, yeah, that's that is true. They do say that you should learn a language when you're younger. I had to take Spanish because in California, like, the benchmark in, like, elementary schools, you have to, like, take something. And so I took Spanish. But honestly, like, if you just, like, focus and, like, really, like, try, it's not that difficult to pick up. And it, like, I don't know. I feel like once you just, like, dial it in, you'll be able to pick it up, like, no problem.
Yeah,
it's pretty interesting.
I think the biggest challenge is, like, one word can mean, like, kind of different things, I guess. Like, you can use, like,
yeah.
It's, like, the conjugating adjectives is what I struggle
yeah. with. Yeah. Like, the O, mm-hmm. Almost on, like, mm-hmm. yeah. No,
nosotros.
I completely. Yes, nosotros, yes. Okay, yeah. I know, that's, like, the hardest thing I found, like, the hardest concept in, like, Spanish 1. But once you get that down. We learned, like, a bunch of songs and stuff that, like, really helped us. Maybe just, like, go on YouTube and, like, look that up.
Maybe, like, I should. I don't know. I did get an 88 on my soccer Spanish project. So I knew I was going to do well in that because I like sports. So that helped
yeah.
a little bit.
That's huge. An 88. Yeah, that's awesome. Look at you. Know, pop up.
But I kind of want to jump into your hockey season now because there are some questions that I do want to ask you about that. Because last time we talked, we were talking about, like, kind of your goals and expectations for the second half of the season. So first one is, how would you evaluate the second half of the season for your team? Obviously, winning Hockey East is a great goal, but I feel like your team probably felt like you could have made the national championship game.
Oh, yeah. I think like, by the end, there was just so much emotions because we had so many girls leaving too. So it was just kind of solidifying near the end of the season that this was, like, the last time for everything for them in terms of, like, winning a national championship and winning a Hockey East championship. And this is, like, the last go of it for a group that kind of has been through so much in the past 2 years as a team and overcame, like, a lot of challenges that we faced. But, I thought we played really well. I just don't think we realized how long that game would have been. Like, I think we kind of just thought that we could shut it down in the first overtime, and we were just exhausted come the second overtime. And when you throw players in kind of cold in the second overtime, I just don't think that's the best result. You get the best result, but I don't know. I think, like, at the end of the day, like, it's anyone's game. And I think that's what's so awesome about hockey, the sport itself, is you show up to the rink and it's anyone's game on any given day. But I don't know, now it's just going back to the drawing board and not necessarily rebuilding, but reloading, because we have a lot of great kids coming in this year. I think we just learn from what we can. And now we're just focusing on what can we do in the next season. But yeah.
Would you consider it a success of a season, or you feel like your team could have done more, I guess, when you look back on it now?
Yeah, I think it's always easy to say that you could have done more in a situation. Of course, like, obviously, like, we wanted to win a national championship. That was the ultimate goal. But I just think we did a lot of things to get there that was just really impressive. I've never been on a team that's ever been so close. And so I'm really proud of everyone and of the coaching staff and everyone that worked towards getting us there, because we couldn't have done it without everyone on board. But I don't know, I think it's just, you just try to take pauses from not reaching your goal necessarily in seasons. But yeah, no, like, I think we achieved what we wanted to.
Yeah. And another question I want to ask you is, what's like, have you had the chance to meet some of your incoming freshmen, and what can like Northeastern fans like expect from them next season? Because it's a big class. Yeah. I know Peyton Anderson's sister's in it, but that's all I know. That's all. That's the only person I know of as of right now.
Yeah, she is coming in next year. They came for their official visits a couple months ago, and it's big class. We met all of them, and they're all super nice, really nice ladies that I've heard really great things about them on and off of the ice. And I think they're going to be really great personalities in the locker room. So I think we have a really good crew coming in for sure.
And obviously, Alina Mueller and Maureen Murphy are returning for their fifth years. How big is that for your team, and how excited are you to play with them again for another year?
Oh, definitely huge, huge honor to play with them. And just awesome for them to come back and to have a nice leadership group. I think everyone, especially the senior class next year, like, we kind of need – we need another year of kind of being shown how to like to lead a team until it's the reins are handed to us, because I feel like we've always been the youngest on the team, and so it's going to be new for us to even just be in a more leadership role than we were before. So it'll be nice to kind of watch them and learn from them, as they're the oldest on the team now.
Yeah, and what type of leadership are you going to try to bring to the team? Because obviously you're an upperclassman, so you're going to have a little bit more of a leadership role than you did last year.
Yeah, I mean, just know my role on the team, whatever that is, which I'll come to find out in the fall next year. But I don't know, just continue to be positive, lead by example, nothing complicated or anything new. Just be a good teammate and just work hard. The basics.
Well, I'm excited for Alina to come back next year, because I feel like she didn't really get a full season this past year just because of the Olympics. And then she had like an injury to start off the year. So I think a full year of Alina Mueller, like, I feel like that's definitely going to be fun to watch and not to have to worry about her, like, leaving for the Olympics.
Oh, 100%. I completely agree. Yeah, I think, like, a lot of the season two, even when she was in, like, I think a part of her was concerned about not getting injured before leading up to games. And so I felt like she wasn't able to play her full Alina Mueller style everywhere on the ice, aggressive game. But yeah, next year it's going to be awesome. I'm super excited. She's just so incredible to play with. She just does insane things. So it'll be nice to watch what she does.
Yeah, no, I saw her play this year in person for the very first time. And one thing, I'm not joking with you when I say this, like, she's one of the best hockey players I've ever seen, like, play, both men's and women's. Like, just the shot that she has, just the quickness that she has. And the thing that impressed me the most was how she can have possession of the puck, and it's so hard to take that puck away from her. Like, all the defenders were trying to get take away, and it could not work. And that's what really impressed me the most about her game.
Oh yeah, it's insane. Like, you could ask anyone on my team, and she, obviously in any drill, you don't want to go against her, but especially in the drills where it's like keep away, because you're just never getting the puck. Like, I'll go against her, and I'm just like, okay, like, this is ridiculous. She's so slippery too. I think she sharpens her skate at like a different kind of like spec, because she's able to like almost slide, like, and not like stopping, but like always sliding kind of into turns and making it really difficult for people to know where she's going next. But yeah, she's incredible for sure.
Has she broken your ankles before in practice?
Definitely freshman year. Year one-on-ones for sure. Like, I've learned lessons really quickly by going against her, but not so much this year. I'm starting to learn her tendencies a bit more. But yeah, she's impossible to go against, though.
I will say Alina's like one of the nicest people off the ice too. I feel like people don't talk about that enough when they talk about Alina Mueller, because I went to the regional game in Worcester for the men's team when they played Western Michigan, and I was just walking in the parking lot, and Alina Mueller's just like, "Hey, Matt." And I was like, "Hey, what's up?" Like, I was like, I don't know how she remembered me, because we did an interview last year. So that's just like really cool for me. So that's why I think she's like such a great player. So shout out to her for that. I don't know if she's listening to this, but I appreciate that a lot. So
Yeah, no, of course. Oh my God, everyone knows you. How could she not remember you? But she's the best. She's the best person ever. She's like the sweetest. Everyone in the hockey world at Northeastern here just absolutely adores her. So she's awesome.
Well, it's just crazy because, like, when walking around the parking lot, like, none of these people realize, like, that's an Olympic medalist walking in the parking lot next to them. No one knows except for me. So I thought that was pretty cool. So,
no, 100%. No, I know. I know. That's literally, yeah.
But
that's literally, it's just incredible to always put that into kind of words when you see her. Yeah, she is a freaking Olympian. Yeah.
I do have a question, though, because when I was at that game, I feel like you would know this. Why does Devin Levi, like, pray between intermission or commercial breaks? Do you know what I'm talking about? I think it's, like, the weirdest thing ever, but I kind of like it.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's necessarily praying. I think he's just, like, a big, like mental guy. So I'm pretty sure he's just, like, going through, like, his mental... what's the word, not tendencies, but probably just like the stuff that will keep him like engaged and like ready to go during games. I know it's funny though, people chirp him about it. I don't know why. I like it. I think it's interesting because he's an interesting guy, so I feel like that kind of goes with who he is as a person for him to do like that, because it's a little absurd.
Oh yeah, I remember seeing it for the first time, like, what is he doing? Like, that makes no sense, like, whatever. And, like, I found it so kind of odd, but, like, I kind of grew to like it. I'm like, I think that's cool. Like, not many goalies do it, because I feel like goalies are, like, known as, like, kind of the weird person on the team. But I feel like, you know, like, when you make, like, 60 saves a night, like, he does, like, you can do that kind of stuff. And I respect it. So it obviously works for him.
No, 100%. Yeah. No, if it's not broken, don't fix it. Don't touch it. Yeah.
So. Now, you also got to play in the Beanpot this year. Obviously, the game didn't go your way, but you did win the consolation game. So, what was that experience like for you playing in the Beanpot at Matthews, and how fun was that?
It was crazy. That was probably close to the most people I've ever played in front of. It got really rowdy, for sure, during the game. But, like, every time, like, you touch the puck, like, people were screaming. It was really fun. Like, I remember looking at – we have these, like, heart rate monitors that send us these little, like, PDFs of our scores in terms of our heart rate, how hard we were working during games. And, like, during that game, like, I was in the red, which meant my heart rate was way too high for anything to be normal, because my adrenaline was just going the whole time. It was super fun, definitely.
Yeah, no, and I feel like you're obviously not from Boston. I feel like a lot of people from Boston don't understand, like, how big the Beanpot is. But what was it like, I guess, stepping in that arena for the first time and realizing just how big that tournament was, not being from the city?
Well, yeah, I didn't think anyone was going to show up. So I was just like, oh, like, whatever. And everyone's like, oh, like, what are you wearing? Like, this is Beanpot. Like, this is big. And I'm like, oh, like, I just was going to. And they're like, no, like, this is where – you wear, like, your best outfit, like, do your hair. And I'm like, oh, like, this is a big deal. Like, I don't know. Like, I stepped in, and then we, like, immediately, like, because Harvard was playing before us, and we were watching the game, and a BU fan, like, chirped us.
What do you say?
As we're, like, they're just like, oh, hey, like, Vermont's really good, huh? And this was, like, right after we lost to them. It was, like, really, a really big deal. And we're just like, and I was like, oh my God, like, so this is, people get really fired up for Beanpot, I guess. But yeah, that was a crazy moment.
Yeah, we should got the last laugh regarding that, because you made the tournament and Vermont didn't. So I guess, like, when you
look at it that way. We just have weird beef with, like, Vermont for no reason.
Twitter beef makes no sense to me, because, like, what happened with the hottest team in the country? And then, like, I don't know who runs your Twitter account. They were not happy about that.
I don't know. I don't actually know. I don't know about that. What happened there?
Basically, like, when Vermont, I guess, I don't know what happened, but they beat, like, they swept a team. I'm not sure who it was, but they, like, tweeted out, like, hottest team in New England. And Northeastern at that point, I think your team, like, had, like 15 straight wins. It was, like, in the January months. And, like, it was, like, the Northeastern people got very upset about that. It's like, actually, no, Northeastern's technically the hottest team in New England if you look at it. But when Vermont beat when they beat your team this year, they like tweeted something like against that. So it was a whole like kind of Twitter beef, which I found interesting.
No way, jeez.
So
that's crazy. I didn't know about that. Yeah, I don't know. Our social media gets kind of like crazy.
Oh, the Northeastern fans are very crazy. They're always up in my mentions for a lot of things. So I will say.
Really?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So.
Oh my god, that's hilarious. Yeah, that's funny.
But no, that was cool. That I hope you are you excited though for next year? Because obviously it's fun playing the Bean Pop, but you want to win it as well.
Yeah. No, I'm super excited for next year. I think it's crazy. Yeah, I think especially too, like as we continue to do well, like I feel like that draws more attention to our team, and so more people want to come, which will be exciting. But I'm excited. It's crazy to think.
Is it going to be in BC, BU, or Harvard?
I have no idea. That's a good question. I don't really know how that really like works, to be honest. And like I said last podcast and the podcast before, I just kind of show up places. Like I don't really know too far in advance why or when I have to be somewhere, but I just figure it out and go, and that's all I know.
That's a good mentality. Show up, play the game, win, and leave. So I respect that.
Yeah, just keep it simple, you know, nothing too complicated.
I'm the complete opposite. I need to know where I'm going to be like 2 weeks in advance and like have everything planned out. I'm like a very routine based person. So I respect you for that. Like how you can just go with the flow. I can't really do that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like I need some sort of routine, but for the most part, like just like a broad idea of what I'm doing. But yeah.
I will say I want to ask you about winning the Hockey East Championship again for the second time. Let's kind of move on to something that was fun. How cool was that winning that championship? And was it cool having fans at the arena for that championship as well?
Oh, my God.
And I know, like, Merrimack's kind of a team that you kind of guys, like, have struggles, I guess, playing with for different reasons besides hockey. But I feel like UConn, I feel like you guys play them very well. That's always a fun game to watch. So I feel like that team, like, challenges you in a way that – other teams can hockey. So how fun was it to play them again and to win your second hockey championship game?
Yeah, I mean, just playing that game, just the first kind of thought that comes to my mind is just like the rink was electric. Like it was just so loud in there. It was very similar to the Beanpot game, which was super fun. But I agree, like I think UConn plays this very well and they have a lot of very talented players and very similar to us, we also have a lot of older players that are moving on after this year, and so it's just a good battle because these girls were kind of reaching the end of their college careers, and it was just kind of the battle of like the oldest teams that I felt. But it was good. It was scary though. Like we were stressed. Like I was stressed going into the game. I think something about us, I feel like that makes it different than a lot of other teams that were kind of up there in the rank. We always respect every like team that we played against. And so it was never like we're walking into the rink knowing that we're going to win. It's like, okay, like we're playing UConn and like they play us really hard. They almost beat us in shootout. So like we have to respect them and be ready to go.
What was like your team's mindset when they scored that goal in the first period? Because I felt like your team was outplaying them throughout most of the first period, but unfortunately a bad bounce and UConn capitalized on it. What was like the message during that time period when you're trying to tie up the game and then eventually get the lead and then kind of hold on to it?
I think what was different was our Coach Flint, he just kind of, it was positive. It was huge. Just like, okay, like easy. Like we got this. Like we've been here before. I find we never really score first in games. And so I think we prefer to chase and to always be on our toes. And he was just get going. Like someone like who wants it? Who wants to be the one to get that next goal? I don't think at any point, like we were stressed. We were nervous because we knew that we were in control. It was just like, okay, like, it's not going to be a pretty one, but like we're going to score. And so it's just a matter of when. And so I thought we played really well. I thought that was a really fun game and a game that would stand out in my eyes as a game that we all kind of played together. Cause a lot of different girls scored on different lines during that game, which was really awesome to see for sure.
and talk about the emotions of winning that championship with the fans, and how fun was the party afterwards? Because obviously I feel like your team didn't get the chance to do that last year because of COVID. So I'm assuming it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was super fun. You know, it was really exciting because we, the men's team, they just secured their, I think, like the Hockey East League Championship. And so they're coming back too. So we both celebrated our successes of the night. And so it was really fun. But yeah, we definitely didn't get to do that last year. It was super cool too because everyone from the Doghouse came too. So we got to interact with them and they just were super cool. And treated us like we were like celebrities. And it was really a really fun experience for sure.
You guys are celebrities, at least in my So I'll give you that. But maybe at least in the New England area, maybe not other places. So local celebrities, I'll say that.
Okay, yeah, fine. Maybe a little bit.
So, but what was like your mindset heading into the national tournament this year, and how cool was it getting the chance to host a playoff game in the national tournament? How cool was that?
Yeah, I mean, that was super cool for sure. I think you don't really realize how much playing at home is such an advantage compared to other compared to playing at like a neutral rink. So like it was nice to like sleep in your own bed and like wake up and get to play like such a high intensity game. And my mom and my aunt flew out for the game, and so that was super fun. A lot of people's families were there, and then just approaching the tournament itself, I think we felt like since we beat Wisconsin, we were capable of beating anyone. And so we were just ready, going in a little more confident and a little less like naive than we did last year. But yeah, we were excited. We were positive. We were confident.
Yeah. How cool was it to beat Wisconsin? What'd you take away from that game, especially since you obviously lost to them in the national championship game last year? So how good did it feel for yourself to get revenge against that team and to move on to another Frozen Four?
It was incredible. It was like one of the best feelings ever. I think it was like, I don't think we were surprised. I think it was obviously like a hard, like fought battle on both ends. I just felt like we brought kind of the passion and the heart that they just couldn't compete with because we had something to prove. They took something from us that we wanted, and I just think that ultimately fueled us to play a full 60 minutes of hockey for sure. But it was terrifying. Like I felt like I was approaching a big exam. Like we had been preparing for it for so long, like coming up, like we had studied like everything, so we knew that like it was going to come down to like the smallest, like little bit of detail, very similar to how they beat us in the last game, like a puck off the back of Megan Carter's leg. Like it's like how they scored, like just everyone had their guy until someone left their guy to cover someone else and Casey O'Brien like tapped it in. So it was just like, we knew that it was going to be like a game like that, but it was just like, who was going to make the least amount of mistakes. And that was ultimately going to be the winner.
Yeah, and obviously your team won that game, so that must have been like, you feel like a sense of relief after that win, like beating a team like that?
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, definitely like a sense of relief because there's always an opportunity that you're going to lose, and so it's just, you're like, okay, like, thank God.
And to win your last game at Matthews for the season is also cool as well.
Yeah, no, 100%. I just think, yeah. Just something about playing at home too, like I said, that's just so awesome. It makes the feeling of winning even better.
But now this Frozen Four was held at Penn State. First off, talk about that experience at Penn State and what was different about this Frozen Four versus the one in Erie, Pennsylvania, like off the ice wise, like experience wise, I guess. Because in my opinion, I like the one at Penn State more because it looked like it was more like eye appealing to watch. I just like the whole setup and design of it better than Erie. So that's just my opinion. I know I might get some flack for that, but I'll just say it here. So it's the last interview.
No. Yeah. No, yeah. You can say whatever you want. No, I agree with you. I liked Penn State better than Erie for sure. And I just think like the town Penn State is in, like the little college town, is just really awesome too. It was just like a really good area to hold the tournament because there's places where we could go and get coffee before getting on the bus. And like Erie, we were in the middle of nowhere. We had to Uber Eats our Starbucks before every skate. We had to go get COVID tested every morning. And this was like super relaxed and we were super close to the rink. And so it was very casual and I found less stressful compared to last year's Frozen Four for sure.
Now, obviously you played Duluth again. We talked a little bit about that game, but what was like the main difference between the game against them in Erie versus the game against them at Penn State? And I guess what went wrong in this game that didn't go wrong in the game last year?
I felt like it was something similar that we faced when we lost Wisconsin the national championship 2 seasons ago. We were just tired. I didn't go in at all in overtime, the first overtime, because I think we rolled our top two lines and because we were matching lines and that was fine. Like I totally understood that. And like Berm was just like, hey, to me and my D partner or my D partner and I, and she's like, but get ready. Like I want to put you guys in. And then like when they realized that it was going to second overtime, they were like, hey, Lily, Tori, like, get ready. You guys are going in. And so I just think like they were just so exhausted that like our top players and our girls were already so tired from playing like 24 minutes a night or 23 minutes a night that I just think that was ultimately the demise. I think that's just what went wrong. But I thought we had opportunities. Like we had opportunities to score and we just couldn't score. And that's ultimately like what it comes down to.
Yeah. And what, like, were you feeling after the game, and how have you handled those emotions after the game, especially knowing that some of your good players like Skylar Fontaine, Frankel, won't be coming back for next year. So that's obviously, like, the toughest part about college hockey is knowing that those players won't come back. So, like, how did you, like, handle those emotions of knowing that was your last game of the season? Obviously, losing is tough, but knowing that those players won't come back as well.
Yeah, I mean, definitely there was a lot of emotions for sure. I was really upset after the game. I was super sad. I was super sad that the seniors were moving on. But I think also, though, for them, I think as much as they were sad that it was has come to an end, I think it was almost a little bit of relief. Like their time of service, their duty to being a Northeastern hockey player, which is like awesome. It's the best job in the world, but it's a job and it gets to be a lot. I think they are so glad that it played out the way it did in there. I think they were just really all proud of themselves, which they should be.
Yeah. And obviously like I'm walking through the garden yesterday, I saw all the Michigan players like after the game. It was like really sad to see like just like how upset all the players were after the Frozen Four. And it was like all the moms were comforting their sons. So I was like, how do you, like, is it, I don't know, did you get the chance to do that? I was curious, like, do the families get to come, like, after the game in the Frozen Four?
I had my whole family there. I had my grandparents, my brother's girlfriends, my boyfriend, my parents, my aunt. They were all there.
The whole family was there.
The whole squad showed up. And so I got to see them and I came out bawling. And so I was immediately comforted by them, which is really awesome.
That's cool.
But yeah, it's sad. Like, and I don't know, probably didn't notice it, but when we lost, the camera guy got right. Cause like everyone was crying, and like Hobby, Brooke Hobson, she just stood like right in front of the camera and just didn't let like the camera guy like get any close-up shots of like our faces crying. And, like,
I didn't know that actually.
Yeah, he kept trying to move around her, and she just like literally like would not move. It was like the coolest thing ever.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, you don't want to get like people who probably try to use that stuff like on the internet and all that stuff. So I think that's a smart idea. So I didn't think about that when that happened. Actually, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it was emotional.
I feel like, at least for me, like, I think it's, like, there's two different types of people after a loss. There's the person that, like, is, like, very upset, like, you were, and just crying. But then there's also the person that just, like, is absolutely stunned and just, like, doesn't say a word. Like, it's just, like, how quiet was the locker room after that game? And, like, what did Coach Flynn say after?
It was really brief. I don't even remember, to be honest, what he said. I think I was also feeling a bunch of emotions. I was upset. I was stunned a little bit too, I'd have to admit. And I was a little angry. And so I was just kind of fuming in my own head while he spoke. But it was quiet. And then I just hadn't seen my family since we arrived there. And so I just got undressed and I saw my family. And then I just went and like spent the night with my family, which was nice. Just so I just released it. I didn't try to own the win and kind of read too much into it because it was just make me upset.
Yeah. But obviously like losing to Duluth, like that's a really good team. So like, it's like, there's no shame in that. I know that sounds like kind of weird to say, but that's how I feel about it. At least if I were on your team.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's definitely like, there's definitely like, we played great. Like we did a lot of great things. It just came down to, like I said before, who would make the least amount of mistakes. And unfortunately,
yeah,
we were the team to ultimately make the most, but yeah.
But luckily your family was there to comfort you though. That's good at least. So that's like one positive thing to take away from the game. So that'll be kind of my message to you.
Yeah, no, you're completely right. Yeah. Support system's huge for sure.
Now, what was it like seeing Alina Mueller in the Olympics? I'll try to do some two more positive questions before the non-hockey segment.
Awesome. It was amazing seeing her. Obviously, we really missed her in the locker room. She's just a character on and off the ice. But it was so awesome to see her represent Northeastern women's hockey and her country. It was really amazing, and we were really proud of her.
I do want to ask this, and you don't have to answer this question as well, but did Maureen Murphy get snubbed for the Patty Kaz award? At least not being in the finalist.
I don't know, to be honest. I don't really know, like, how it works. I feel like if I was educated more on, like, how, like, what it means to get nominated and everything, I would have more of an opinion, but I do not have an opinion, unfortunately.
I'll say she got snubbed. I'll answer that question myself. I think it's the leading goal scorer in the NCAA doesn't get at least be a finalist for the Patty Kaz. My award makes no sense to me. So.
No, yeah, I agree. I'm sure it's political and whatnot and like everything else in life just out of people's control.
So, well, let's get into the non-hockey segment because that's always a fun thing to do, and hopefully this will bring out some fun stuff. This was difficult for me to do, Lily, because we've done two episodes, so I couldn't. It was hard finding like random questions to ask you that would be fun. So, but I decided to kind of do some personalized questions. So, first one is, why does Tessa Ward have such great style off the ice? Because I saw I don't want to take credit for this, Lily, but like I saw that Northeastern Women's Hockey posted the pregame outfits, and I like to say that I definitely had something to do with that because I don't know. I don't know if I did, but I'm gonna say I did, but. Tessa
no, Ward you was, did.
Oh, really?
No, yeah, because I remember you, like, asked about it. We, like, talked about it, and I know that, like, other girls were, like, because you would post other teams, and we'd be, like, why don't we get ours taken? And so then we started getting ours. But, no, yeah, Tessa just has, like, great style.
Oh,
like,
it's she awesome. She has,
like, great random pieces of clothing, and I don't know. She's just, like, a stylish lady. It's really funny. I like it. I like her style.
Hat game is strong. How does do you like get influenced from her style as well? Because I feel like the best style person on the team always like influences the other teammates and like what they wear before a game.
Oh yeah, 100%. Like she will wear like dresses and tights all the time. So sometimes like I'll wear like tights and like skirts similar to her. But no, yeah, she definitely influences everyone on the team. She's a style icon for sure.
Now, it's obviously Frozen Four week for the men's side. You've been in two Frozen Fours in your career with Northeastern. So I want to ask you, which place would you love to see a Frozen Four be played in? However, the caveat for this question is you have to watch the game. Like, this has no Northeastern involvement. Like, you're a fan. Like, where would you want to see a Frozen Four be played?
Ooh, I don't know. I feel like somewhere on the West Coast would be really cool.
I agree.
It just would be really far for people. But I feel like if they did it, like the Staples Center would be really cool.
Yeah,
be right in my backyard too, so I could definitely go and see it.
Yeah, I think for the women's side, I feel like it's always in like the same like five places. So I feel
it
like
sucks. I hate it.
I do like how they play it on campus and how it's a little different from the men's side. But I wish like I don't know, the Boston would be a cool spot to have the women's Frozen Four. It's been like almost over 10 years since they've had the women's Frozen Four in Boston. So, like, they should figure out a way to put it, like, in a Gannis at least or something like that. So, That would be fun.
I know. It's stupid. I know. I know. Yeah.
And then I think LA would be cool, like California, California would be cool to have a Frozen Four. I think they had one there back in the 90s, but obviously it's been a while, and I feel like hockey's grown a lot in California since then. So that'll be kind of an interesting spot. And then another spot that would be cool would be, at least in my opinion, would be like Dallas, Texas, just because
it's
really a hockey spot people think of. But like, I think it'd be cool to like put it somewhere like where it's never been before to kind of grow college hockey.
No, I agree. That would be really cool for sure.
Now, what is the most overrated holiday and what is the most underrated holiday?
I think the most underrated holiday is Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. I love like the whole basis of it, and then just like obviously the delicious food. It's like the best thing ever. And then I would say like New Year's is probably the most overrated holiday. Like, I don't know, like
it's just time.
Yeah, like I'm just like so it's such like a overhyped night.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I think for me it's I think I'll give you a hot take about Thanksgiving is I think Thanksgiving food is not the best food in holidays. I think Christmas food is way better. I like ham more. I think there's more variety. Like I think turkey's good, but it's not like as good as people make it out to be sometimes. So that's like my one like hot take that I will stand by. Christmas food is better than Thanksgiving food. But for me, the most underrated holiday is 4th of July. I love the 4th of July. Just a good summer holiday with the fireworks. Makes me feel proud to be American. Like I love it. It's just a good vibe to it. So I really enjoy the 4th of July just because of it's like the only holiday in the summertime too. So I really enjoy that one. And then for me, the most overrated one is Halloween. I think that holiday kind of stinks because if you're not a kid.
I like Halloween.
If you're not a kid, you can't go trick-or-treating. So I can't go trick-or-treating. I'm not really big in like dressing up in a costume. So there's really nothing for me to do on Halloween. It's just like another day. And I think people like try to make it out to be like this fun, exciting holiday for where some people like, it's not really that. So that's why I think Halloween's a bit overrated in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I have to agree with some of your points there. I just like it sometimes though. Like I like that costume idea. I like dressing up.
I'm not a big, maybe it has to be a guy thing. That could be as well. I don't think.
Yeah, a lot of guys don't like dressing up.
So every guy Halloween costume is like, just like a baseball jersey or a football jersey. It's the funniest thing ever.
So basic. No, I know. It's, you guys are lucky.
So another overrated one would be like Valentine's Day. I think some people like overdo it so much where it's so like annoying to see it. So that's a bit of that's a bit overrated too. I think it, for some people you overrate the holiday, not for everyone though. I think some people do it the right way.
No, I agree with you. That's valid for sure.
So now what is one thing that you did as a kid that you still do today? For me, I still drink chocolate milk as a kid. I drank chocolate milk as a kid and I still drink it today. So what's yours?
I like was obsessed with tomatoes as a like a child, like the little like grape tomatoes, and I'm still obsessed with them now. I eat them a lot. I'll just eat them as like a snack, or I'll just like put a lot in my salad. But that's one thing I did as a kid that I still do now.
That's awesome. If you could have any superpower, which one would you choose? I'll choose super speed, so I can just get to my classes on time without like with getting to get more sleep, I guess. So that's what.
Yeah. No, that's a good idea. I would definitely want to be able to like be invisible. I feel like that would be really cool.
What would you use it for? Because I feel like some people say they want to be invisible, but I feel like you could be like kind of you can use it in like a wrong way, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it would be cool just to like sneak into places. Into like Disneyland. You'd never have to like pay.
That is true. That is.
I guess that's like not really ethically like appropriate, but like if it was okay to like steal and to like to cheat and lie, then I would want that power. Yeah.
I think for me super speed can kind of get rid of that because like you can just go right into a stadium or right into a Disneyland and people might not see you, so that's why I would choose that.
That's true. Yeah, that is true. That's interesting. Yeah, I feel like the superpower would have to be a little more complex for me to have to like agree to it. I'd have to know like the exact ins and outs of it.
One thing I used to do, I guess as a kid, that I don't really do too much today, but I'd be like bored in class and I would pretend like, what if I like snap my finger, time stopped, and I can just walk around like the school and do nothing. Like,
no, I've definitely thought that thought before too. I don't even know what like freezing time superpower. I agree. I've thought that before too. That's funny you say that.
I feel like everyone has done that. So, cause like one thing I used to do as a kid also is I used to close my ears and do this. And the sound would sound weird. And I saw like a TikTok video of someone like saying they did that as a kid. I'm like, I thought I was the only one that did that.
Yeah, everyone I know. And then
what the heck?
I know. That's so funny. Yeah. I felt that way before too sometimes.
Have you ever met anyone famous besides like Alina Mueller and all your teammates?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I've met like hockey players before. I met some basketball player. I can't remember his name. I don't really know sports that well. But in my PT place, because I hurt my back this past summer, so I was going to physical therapy at the LA Kings facility because they have one there. And it's also the Lakers facility. And so a lot of them do like physical therapy there. And I met someone that my little brother said was really famous, but I can't remember his name.
Was it LeBron?
No, it wasn't LeBron. It was someone.
You know it was LeBron though, so.
No, I know. It was someone like younger that's like currently playing. They're just like injured with like a torn ACL or something.
Oh, I'm trying to think. I don't really follow basketball too much.
So. I know. I don't either.
I know the superstars and that's about it.
Yeah, I know. Me, I think this guy is a superstar. I just don't know who it is. Yeah, I don't know.
I haven't met like any like famous like actors or actresses per se, but I've met like hockey players, like you said. Like I met Brad Marchand one time, which was really cool. Met Tyler Seguin before, so that was probably fun. And recently I met Mike Riley, which was awesome. So probably just like Bruins players, I guess.
That's awesome. That's super cool.
So yeah, now last non-hockey question is last non-hockey question is what is your most embarrassing like hockey moment or just moment in your life you've ever had? For me, I fell inside the bench doing a skating drill one time. Like someone forgot to close the door and I just like fell.
Oh my God.
That was pretty embarrassing. So luckily there's no video of it though.
Oh, that's hilarious. Oh my God. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. There's been a lot of times where like I've like given the puck up. Oh, I think like this year had a scrimmage and they put me out on the power play like first time ever, and I took a slap shot into some girl's skates and she went on a breakaway and scored. That was probably the most embarrassing thing I've done this season for sure.
Yeah. Now, back to some hockey questions now. I guess we kind of talked about this, but I thought this was a kind of interesting one. But as an athlete, do you care or notice any fan criticism? And if you do, how do you handle it?
Not really. I mean, trying to think, like, not really directly. Like, sometimes, like, in class, I'll hear people, like, chirp. Like I heard someone talk about, like, Beanpot and how, like, it was stupid how we lost and whatever. And I, like, have said stuff before, but, like, usually I don't really care. I just ignore it. It's not really usually about me anyways, so.
I think that's a good mentality to have just because, I don't know. I feel like if you care too much about it, it starts getting in your head and then it starts affecting your game. So I feel like
yeah,
ignoring it is like the best way to handle it. But I'm just curious because maybe as a fan, I look too much into it, but like, I feel like whenever I see like certain players get criticized, it bothers me because I know a little bit more behind the scenes than the normal fan would, but like, I don't know. It just bothers me. So I'm just curious like how athletes handle it because I don't know like how I would handle it personally.
Yeah. I mean, no, yeah, I agree with you. I think athletes are just so used to being criticized, like, not even from, like, a fan, just, like, from, like, a coach, player, parent, whatever perspective. So it's not anything new that they haven't known how to deal with before.
Well, last question. Do you have any shout-outs? I know you've done this 3 times, but if there's someone you might have forgotten the last 2 times and never gave them a shout-out, feel free to do it.
I just want to shout out my grandparents, Grandma Pop. If you guys are listening, hi, can't wait to see you guys. Trying to think, yeah, those are probably my 2 biggest fans right there. So,
awesome,
shout out, yeah,
yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, no, that's really cool. And do you have anything else you'd like to add to the, I guess, interview before it ends?
I just think, again, it's a huge honor to be here. Thank you for having me as your potentially last official ever College Hockey podcast member. But I think also just as a community, we would just like to thank you. Like, as hockey players, we love your podcast, like I've said before, and really enjoy coming on and talking to you. It's always been really fun.
Yeah, I think I was looking at it. I think Northeastern, BU, or UConn has like the same amount of like guests I've had on from like a team. So shout out to all three of your teams. I'm definitely a big fan. So
means no
a
lot.
Because I'm a big I live in the New England region, so I watch those teams more. So I like know more of those players. But I think that I really appreciate it a lot. So thank you so much. So shout out to your team and shout out to you, Lily. You've had so much success with Northeastern already, and I know you can continue to get so much more success soon. And you're just a great person, but a great hockey player. So
thank you.
Plus 22. Here's the people that if you ever criticize Lily, she's a great defender, number one, which is a plus 22, has made 2 Frozen Four appearances, 2 Hockey East championships, and also has blocks a lot of shots as well. So a solid player. And that first goal will be coming soon. I don't know when, but that goal will be coming soon. I you better have a great celebration for that, because that's all.
Thank you. You're too kind. Thank you so much. This has been awesome. I've really enjoyed this.
Thank you so much for listening to today's interview of College Hockey Talk. If you want to check out our older interviews, make sure to do that. You can do that on the Apple Podcast page, Spotify account, or our YouTube channel, where you can watch many different interviews from this podcast. Make sure you follow our social media accounts at College Hockey Talk, and I'll see you guys next time with another great interview. But until then, take care and have a great day. Bye.
Yeah. Huh. I am not the victim of this love affair.